next time you stop by here.
Power is gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs. I am your future.
We have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Good morning, everyone. As we say in Polish, dzień dobry, and welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM Radio, which serves Philadelphia and all of southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And as always, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite a family member and friend to tune in, and of course, you're going to have a very enjoyable program. Now, if you are on the internet and you want to see what some of our guests look like today, well, I encourage you to go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and you'll see Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration. He is going to be on the broadcast today, along with Mark Andel, who is the founder of the American Made Store. And we're going to also welcome some email information requests today, as well as a few callers. We have a new system that we're testing out. You can give us a buzz at 215-922-5300, but wait till around a quarter after the hour so that we can get all this new stuff set. But Rich and Mark, I want to welcome you. And of course, you're now on one telephone line. Henry has fixed it up, and Jared was in, and they did all this special stuff. So we don't get any more of that high-low stuff that we were getting in the past, so that we can really start doing our thing and welcome some callers from time to time as well.
Well, Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year, Mark.
Yeah, very good. It sounds excellent, by the way. I hear you much better.
Oh, excellent.
Michael, Mark, good morning. Good
and
morning,
how are
guys.
You hearing yeah, everything now?
Side. Thanks to Hank also for remedying the issue here.
Well,
absolutely.
Gentlemen, as I was preparing my commentary for this coming Saturday's broadcast, I was thinking about all of you, as well as the tens of millions of people that are supporting our Buy American Made campaign across the USA. And I think that I want to thank right off the front Diane Sawyer and David Muir, and that is Sharon Alfonsi, and all of them who put their head on the line with me to try to get this thing off and running. But when I was coming up with a title for this week's broadcast, I said, what would we accurately say to people about the new year or the past year and what we can do in the new year? And I said, what you see is what you get. And what I simply mean by that is, as people go around and they talk to store owners and they talk to employees, they talk to the unemployed, everyone is frustrated with our national leaders. But as I'm listening to these people, I'm hearing some great things. And Rich and Mark, I want to tell you, people are really impressed with what you have to say, your presentation, your knowledge. They're very pleased to hear from Larkin. Larkin Connolly is on a special venture today, but he'll be back in 2 weeks with a special guest here on the broadcast. I think he said it was the 23rd. He's going to come in and do something, and maybe we can all do something positive to continue to focus on the facts that America needs jobs. Americans need to be employed so they can pay the taxes and, you know, have a better economy overall. And I'm going to mention something about my efforts and your efforts a little later on in the program. But what's been happening with you, Mark, since the beginning of the new year?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked that, Mike. I started off real strong. You know, we're my general welding and fabricating is into snowplow equipment. So, of course, we've got a big snow up in western New York right before the Christmas, and that was my Christmas gift because we got a foot of snow, and that helped the snow industry. The snow industry really needed snow. My friends sell snowmobiles to snowblowers, and we sell to Boston, you know, snowplow. So that helped us. And coming into the new year, I just flew back from Charlotte, North Carolina. I mean, I got back in 1 o'clock last night. you know, Mike and Rich. And I was down at the American Bus Association show at the convention center in Charlotte, and which was a very, very well-ran show. And what we go down there for is we became a destination of the country with the Made in America store in Alma, and we have had 170 buses to date, but of course we're trying to grow that. We've got 36 booked for this year right now, and me and my Dorothy went down there, and we meet with buyers, and the buyers are tour bus operators and group leaders that try to find new attractions. But I'll tell you, Mike, I sat with, you go 7 minutes there. They sit you down, you get 7 minutes, you tell your spiel, and then you move on. And it's really a well-ran show. And I met with these buyers, and when they're coming up to Niagara Falls or they're going to Nova Scotia or Canada, and we want that bus to stop at our store, they loved what I was doing. My lady was down there, Dorothy, who generally don't bring the owner, but, you know, she introduced me as the founder and the owner. And, boy, the people just respected what I'm doing. They thanked me for it. We need more people like you. We believe in what you're doing. And not only do they want to stop for a restroom stop or stop at that store, and they know people love it and the movement's on, but they also said, can you get me products to sell, like our pins and whatnot, our flags that we give away in our buses? And some of these are real large. And I met representatives from every state, Branson, you know, Missouri and Pigeon Ford and Nashville. It's in next year. And I had an awesome time Monday and Tuesday. It was a very fast show because I had to get back quick, but it was great to see. And tourism brings a lot of money to our economy also.
Absolutely,
and,
Mark.
You know, it was a nice leg, Mike, and I really was respected, and I can't say enough for the people that ran the show, but we're going to have a lot of buses come to our store, and it's pretty neat we became a destination.
Very good. In fact, Mark, we're going to have to encourage some of our bus organizers to go up your way as well, because we're in historic Philadelphia, which means so many buses come from all over the country. I think maybe we'll have to share some resources about who is going where, and maybe some of those same buses can come our way in the future.
Absolutely. And they had a representative from Philadelphia who I did talk to, and they liked your show. And some people from New Jersey, right real close, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, I think, and they're coming from New York City and in. But buses, there's quite a bit to the bus industry and, you know, helping these tourists. This country, we've got so many great places to visit, so it's a great way to help the economy. And we told them, you can help the manufacturing economy by stopping at our store, purchasing these items, and getting these manufacturers, these mom and pops and all the vendors we support with our store back up and running too.
Absolutely. I see a change in all of the people that I discuss this with. How is everything with you, Rich, in the new year?
Michael, Jen Dobre to you, Mark, to your listeners. Mark, of real happy to hear, not surprised, but happy to hear. I've contacted Sue because I have a couple of ideas on some things that our businesses can do cooperatively for small businesses.
Excellent.
So if Sue's notified you about that, I'll follow back up and, you know, let's talk about that.
Will do.
On some things that I have in mind and incorporating also, Michael, the show. I have to say, you know, we had a very strong end of the year. December is has always been a busy time for us. We are off to a very strong start of the year. Holiday time did not slow us down. So despite all of the challenges of being in business, I still think it's, you know, it's the best way to go, or is at least as good a way to go. And I'm expecting a very strong 2013. Many of our customers are here. They make things here. They employ things here, employ people here, excuse me. And many of them, we work very intimately within their businesses. One thing I do want to say that you mentioned at the outset about what to do in the new year. There's really two things, as I see immediately, we can do. One financial, one not financial. The financial one is we can continue to ask for American-made products. We can continue to do our shopping that way. We can strive, even if we don't have 100% success rate, we can strive to find things that are made here. And the other thing that's not financial is we have a new Congress coming in. So the things that we talk about on the air, from the deficit to what's being done within the country, we have a new Congress. So we have to give these new Congress people, I want to say, the benefit of the doubt coming in, but we need to pay attention to what this Congress is doing. Now, for me, you know, Rich Lowe just comes on the air, and I always throw the cynicism meter way down, right? I always lower it. So I usually lower the IQ level on the show, and see, I always lower the cynicism level. What I fear is going to happen is, you know, meet the new Congress, same as the old Congress. And we have to be vigilant. We just went through the most expensive presidential election ever. with the most expensive congressional election ever. And when I say expensive, I'm talking about the money raised, billions. So voting is the start of our civic duty. It doesn't end there. The way it continues is we need to be vigilantly watching what it is that Congress is doing. There is no excuse for any of us to be ignorant. We have more access to information here in the U.S. than any other industrialized nation in the world. We can know what's happening every day.
Oh, Rich, you are so right. You know, a few weeks ago, we were discussing the Congressional Reform Act. And I would like to say, as America's national leaders are now working together, the new Congress has been sworn in, and they're going to be discussing the spending cuts, I'd like to recommend a few cuts that should be their first action if they would have the brass to do it. Number one, they should put in legislation, maybe not for the next 4 years, but 6 years down the road, that there's no tenure anymore as an elected official and no pensions whatsoever for coming to Washington and serving our country. You know, we discussed that, Rich, and I think it's a good. A congressman and a congresswoman should only collect a salary while they're in office and receive no pay when they're out of office whatsoever. I mean, that's the way it is with you or me or the next guy, unless you're in a pension system, which you have a 401k, or you were lucky enough to be in some public service, or however you were getting a pension. But as far as national elected officials, Rich, you said something a few weeks ago that people should go to Washington to represent us, share their good ideas, share their education, and then leave and let someone new come in rather than make it a lifelong job.
Well, I am 1,000% in favor of term limits in federal office. Whether we want to argue that in the state level or local level is a different discussion. I tend to talk more so about the federal side. I am absolutely in agreement of term limits. I do not believe any public position, publicly funded position, within the government, aside from the president and vice president, should pay more than $100,000. Now, having said that, I also believe that living wage is certainly needs to be considered depending on where someone lives. But serving in public office is an honor. Okay, it's an honor and a privilege. Harry Truman had no money when he left the presidency, and whenever those looked to hire him or bring him on as an endorser of some sort, his line was always, "You don't want me, you want the presidency." So I'm not saying that these individuals should make their income should be reflective of where it is that they live, but the reason that we have elections where there are millions and millions and millions spent is because getting elected to Congress is better than a lottery ticket.
Right. Okay,
you have lifelong salaries, you have lifelong pensions, you have health care that is without question better than anything on the so-called free market. And you also have the ability to buy and sell stock legally with insider trading information. Now, that's changed a little bit lately, the last thing I mentioned, because in the past, the government, the members of Congress, would just simply never disclose. Now they'll buy and sell legally with insider trading info, but now they just have to disclose it. So the net result, Michael, is really the same, though.
Right.
See, it's really the same. You just put a little bit of sugar coating on it, but it's still the exact same net result. So this is why guys and gals fight, I believe, so hard. And I'm not suggesting every member of Congress tries to get elected for that reason. But if we are looking at candidates and we ask candidates these types of pointed questions, Mr. and Mrs. Candidate, are you in favor of eliminating aid to other nations? Mr. Candidate, are you in favor of term limits? Are you in favor of the government needing to go and purchase health care in the free market, as opposed to your cushy plan that exists? Are you in favor of these things? And if you get the ambiguous answers that tend to come from congressional elections, see, we have the choice to be able to not elect that individual. Unfortunately, though, the way that the structure and politics is set up in the United States, especially with federal office, is that you only have two parties that monopolize all the time, all the media, and essentially all the money. So we have the choice to elect none of the above. And if we feel that these issues are so important with the deficit and the way that Congress represents us, because as you've pointed out, members of Congress, the president, the vice president, et cetera, those who are in office who are not elected, they work for us.
Absolutely.
But if they're not working for us, we need to get guys and women in there who are going to work for us, as opposed to the same old thing all the time.
You see what why I brought that up.
On us. Why We're I the brought, electorate. We are the electorate. We put them there.
Right. Why I brought that up is because as I'm talking with people, they say loud and clear that the members of Congress are in their own little world. They don't understand what it is for Mark to run a business or you to run a business or myself to struggle along to run a business. They do not understand that. They get in that office and they want to hold on for dear life. And when they're retired, they get a pension for life and health care for life. So there's really no incentive for them to understand what the everyday person is going through. If Mark, it was like when Romney went around to the, he couldn't even understand how the new systems work in the store to order sandwiches and all. He was amazed with it. They get so far out of the reality of the day-to-day American. They're sitting around taxing and saying this should be raised and that should be raised. We're mandating this and mandating that. Why don't we have a mandate in the country that says 50% or more of every item located in the USA must have a USA label on it? Mark, what would you say to that?
No, absolutely. You know, that's what I said. The Federal Trade Commission laws, you know, require 50% made here, 50% overseas to bear the Made in America label. I don't totally agree with that because there's a lot of fraud, as I found out through the years. And I'd like it more like a tag that tells you 80% is in the United States, 20% overseas. Of course, my store is 100%. But I would love it to have incentives to build or even to promote or to have Made in America on more items. And like you said, Mike, we'd be satisfied with 50% if we had even trades. Even when we traded baseball cards as kids, you need even trade. And like you said, Congress lost understanding is a big word there, Mike and Richard. You know, they need to understand what we go through running a business. Going down to this American Bus Association show, I see how hard these people work. And they're all our type of personality that work for a living and how hard it is to keep them doors open. Yes, we're living the American dream, but yes, we create livelihoods, and businessmen have to get respect back. You know, it can't be your employees can't say your businessman's evil. We have to work together. You know, even that little fiscal crisis to me was a big mess and a joke, and then they end up fixing 10% of the problem. But when you raise 4.2% to 6.2% on the Social Security, that, you know, right away I had a couple calls from my employees. Why is my check smaller, you know, this year? And because it knocked about $10 to $18 out of the average employee check here in disposable income cash. So that already hurt them, taking more from them because they have, you know, the gasoline side, their health insurance side, so they already took a little bit. But they need to understand, you know, how and what it takes to run this business, what the employees, what the citizens going through. We all need to listen better, and that was my big goal for this year, listen to my employees better, listen to my customers better. What kind of products do they want? What kind of service do they want? But the cost of a business we have to control, and they have to grab an understanding. And I agree with you, Rich. We need term limits. They're not elected. They work for us. And I see it in a small town politics where one guy can hold up a young man trying to get a business up and running because he doesn't understand what it really takes and what it means to, if you don't close on a loan and you need a use permit, something to be put through fast because it could cost you points or interest rate to hike, and you need to get going. So, you know, Mike, I mean, there's a lot to that, but we need to understand better and they need to understand better what it takes.
Mark, you want to try and we want to try and get them to understand better. We said it. Term limits. See, it's
absolutely.
When you're thinking about the next election already.
I'm fresh.
Right, because you got to keep. You know, it's like the win for life lotto. Right, win it's X amount of money every week. When you're
I love it.
The funny thing is though, once you're elected, even if you're elected out, you still get all the riches and the spoils of victory. So we want to get them to try and focus on this. Yeah, they need to be focused on their job, not on the next election, the next multi-million-dollar campaign that they'll run.
Yeah, get as much work as they've done, like you said, from the heart. Do it for their own good, for their job, and not just wait to get reelected. Right away, they start working on the reelection.
You know what I'd like to see, Mark, Rich, and everyone listening? all members of Congress, past, present, and future, they should all participate in the Social Security systems. No more fancy-dancy pension plans. All funds presently in the Congressional Retirement Fund should be removed and put into the Social Security system immediately.
Absolutely.
Hold on, guys. We'll be back. And if someone is out there and would like to ask Rich or Mark a question, give us a call at 215-922-5300. We have so many numbers, I'm confused. 215-922-5300. Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, and they feature Polish-style meats and deli products and a selection of imported products from Poland and Polish-American products. Stop by Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, and see the great selection of products they offer. For more information, call Polka Deli at area code 215-634-3750. That's 215-634-3750.
Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, is available to handle your legal matters. She's part of the well-known firm Bennett, Bricklin, and Salzburg, and works in all areas of the law, including immigration, personal injury, compensation, and real estate. Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio is fluent in both English and Polish, and welcomes clients to contact her from throughout the Philadelphia area and New Jersey. If you need legal assistance, call Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio at area code 215-423-4824. That's area code 215-423-4824. For all of your banking needs, call on Washington Savings Bank, which offers checking and savings accounts, IRAs, CDs, home mortgages, and home equity loans, along with a host of other services at its five offices at 2701 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond, 2548 East Lehigh Avenue in Fishtown, and in the Northeast at 2900 Comley Road, 10663 Busselton Avenue, and 8729 Frankfort Avenue. Banking hours at all offices of Washington Savings Bank are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Friday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. The Port Richmond Kazimierz Wielki branch at Edgemont and Allegheny Avenue is also open on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information about the many services provided by Washington Savings Bank, call the main number in Philadelphia at area code 215-698-9400. That's area code 215-698-9400. Or visit a Washington Savings Bank near you. The Polish National Alliance, America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance and investment organization, encourages you to open a PNA annuity. Your deposits are tax-deferred. You can open the account with $500 and then make future deposits in any amount in your tax-deferred annuity. For more information about PNA annuities, IRAs, and life insurance programs, call the Polish National Alliance at their toll-free number 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723. And complete details will be sent to you from the national office. When you call, you can also request that a local PNA representative contact you directly with further details about PNA annuities, IRAs, and their many insurance programs. Call the Polish National Alliance at 1-800-621-3723. That's 1-800-621-3723.
Welcome back to another edition of American Workers Radio. And I just want to follow up on one thing, and that is our internet site. For those of you that get our special notices about the broadcast on Wednesday mornings, and then we do send out a notice letting you know that the latest show has been updated and you can click on it and listen to it. But on our internet site, when you go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, you'll see the photo of Rich Loges and Mark Andel. You'll know exactly who you are listening to and possibly speaking to in the future. And also on that same site, we have information about National Small Business Weekend, also the U.S. Debt Clock. And when you go down on the right-hand side of the page, you will see a link when you click on there to the Made in America store, which goes to Mark's store. And also there is a link for RJL Technology, which is Rich Loges, and you can click on and see exactly what these guys are trying to do. On the other side of the page, there's also a little promo of Larkin Connolly, who is the president of SCORE Philadelphia, and his interview, which was on NBC TV 10 out of the Philadelphia area, along with his SCORE Philadelphia link as well. Well, gentlemen, we have been talking about elected officials not being able to understand what the little guy goes through, what the man who is trying to employ people goes through. They just raised the returned the Social Security to the tax that it was in the past. I believe that elected officials should pay into the Social Security system and every member participate just as every other American does, collecting Social Security, no further pensions for being in Congress. Term limits would help greatly as well. And also, Congress can also purchase their own retirement plan just like every American does for themselves. Those are the subjects, and we do have a caller. What do you think of those ideas, guys?
Michael, we have a caller, you said?
Yes. We're coming up.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Hi.
Welcome.
Okay. Michael, Mark, Rich, and Henry, I enjoy this show tremendously. I always listen to it every week, and today is great as usual. I do have a question for Rich, but I do want to say first to Mark that you inspired me. And I am a bus organizer, and I will run a bus to your shop or to your store.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
And hopefully you'll be there to greet us.
Yes, I will. I've been on 95% of the 170 buses. I try to go on every bus.
Great, great. But I definitely will run a bus to your store.
And if you're running a bus out of Philadelphia, you can take them to Niagara Falls.
Oh, great.
And the whole deal is Mark is not...
My wife makes homemade cookies for every bus, usually. She never thought she'd be doing it for 170 buses, but...
Oh, my goodness. Well... Now, to Rich, going back, this might be an awkward question, but going back to the fiscal cliff, I was very curious to know, if that wasn't resolved, what would have happened to those 2 million people that would not have not received unemployment checks? First of all, how would they live? I mean, who knows when this would have been resolved? Bills still would be coming in. And I'm sure the utility companies will say, well, just because it wasn't passed and you didn't get your check, we'll let you go another month. I'm sure that would not be the answer to these people. What would have happened? And also,
ma'am, what was your name? Sorry?
My name's Teresa. I'm sorry, Rich.
Teresa.
Yes.
Teresa, first off, thank you for listening and being a listener, participating. I want to answer that with something that I've been saying both on air as well as privately, which is I think that the public debate over the fiscal cliff negotiations, I really think it was more theater than anything else. I was sure that some sort of resolution would come to pass, and as part of that resolution was the extension of these unemployment benefits.
Uh-huh.
Now, had that resolution not been met, we would have had a sort of microcosm of a bit of a financial crisis for millions of people who receive unemployment, which for a lot of those people doesn't really cover a high percentage of their household expenses anyway. So you would have seen probably a combination of increased consumer debt with that demographic over time, and you would have seen also, unfortunately, a number of people who may have suffered from or would have come to suffer from some of those obligations that are, when you fall behind on your mortgages and your credit card debts, it not only harms you in the present, it harms you significantly in the future.
Correct. Yeah.
So we would have seen that. But having said that, I was pretty sure, I'd say 90%+ sure, that something would come to pass. You know, Teresa, I really believe, and I say this in American politics, division, the rifts, the so-called strifes, and the so-called differences, it's very, very profitable here in American politics. The idea of, you know, one's the good guy, one's the bad guy, and you've got one side who says, I'm with the good guys, and the other side, I'm with the bad guys. That's very lucrative here. You know, you get a $6 billion presidential election. That could have created a few jobs.
Uh-huh.
You know, $6 billion could have done. And God knows how much, when all is said and done, was spent just on the congressional elections, billions more. So it's very profitable to be divisive here, especially in politics. And that's what we saw with the fiscal cliff negotiations. And actually, Teresa, in the reality of it, as far as taxation, both parties agreed on the tax increases that were passed. Now, not every single member did, but 90%+ of each party came to an agreement on the increased taxes. So if they vote the same way, Teresa, how really different are they?
Right, right. That's true.
That's exactly why I'm always saying we need at least four parties at the table. Because then you have really a discussion group, not just we take this position and that position. It doesn't really make any sense. You know, when I was reading, as I'm looking at the article that appeared about Made in America store in the Wall Street Journal, I saw that Mark had to unemploy some of his people. And Mark, tell us a little bit about that. How did they feel about that? And
well,
how
I had to lay off.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, at the time when I laid off people.
Yes.
Like, okay,
yes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, nobody realizes until they're in that position. Like I said, I had 70 employees was my max at 1.4 plants in Western New York, and you know, we ran 24 hours a day at a couple plants. But when I lost my $3 million account to China in 2007, and then that was a major blow, and then the recession hit, and I went down to 31 employees. And laying off people that want to work, I mean, I've got a great team, a lot of family, a lot of friends, and we all work towards one goal, you know, putting food, shelter, and clothing on the table and a good quality livelihood and security. When you got to lay off a good person that wants to work, it's the worst feeling. I pride myself. My goal is to keep my employees, all of them. And I just told employees, it's not about you, it's not about me. It's keeping us all employed, keeping all our livelihoods going. And it's very difficult for me because I feel like I've failed if I've got to lay off an employee. And it's very hard when you don't have enough work to do that. So it's very difficult, you know, Mike and Rich and Teresa, thanks for calling. You know, it's just hard to do when you've got to lay off and it's not a good feeling. And you want to get them back as soon as possible, but you have to keep the ship afloat. So we control costs, we cut spending, we cut good employees if we have to, but the goal is to get them back as soon as possible.
Well, the thing that really was interesting to me in the Wall Street Journal article was that you were undercut by $3 a post.
Yes, and the post weighed about 10 to 12 pounds a post. And this steel post, say about 3 foot long, and it went inside PVC fencing. So all the fencing you'll see around racetracks or horse stables or condos, we shipped to 6 regional support centers across the country at that point, all the way from you know, California to McPherson, Kansas was our main hub. And we had a good operating business. That post weighed 10 to 12 pounds, and it was a quality. You had to carry BOCA certification, and then you had to, I'm a CWI, you had to all your welds had to be up to par, and then your 50,000 PSI or tensile strength on your steel, and it had to come from the mill. So very high quality standards because it was a load-bearing structure. And for them to be able to take $3 out of a $17 post, and I mean, we were chiseled right along, but then the $3 would have put me well below what it cost to build it. So I had to say no. And then they told me Florida was making it, and I said, geez, somebody could do it. I did it for 10 years. And then to find out they could ship this heavy post across seas in shipping containers blew my mind, really, because it was a heavy post, but the shipping, the freight, I can ship even one of my snowplows. You can ship to Europe cheaper than you can ship in our own country. It's $200 from Iron Mountain, Michigan to Buffalo to ship one blade. But from Europe, it's $100. These shipping containers are huge, and they get such a volume. They get such a break. So it amazed me with the heavier product, they still could beat me. And that was amazing, and that floored me. That $3, I couldn't compete. But when I seen the original product from China, it wasn't the same quality. All of a sudden, that BOCA certification, the welding standards weren't followed. That bothered me. They didn't go for quality. They went for price. And to me, they led with greed there. All of a sudden, everything was thrown out the window. It wasn't about quality or safety. It was just, let's get the best price we can.
You know what? I want to ask you a question, Mark. Did any of your political leaders try to work with you to maintain any of your contracts?
Not one, and with my 400 documented interviews, Mike, and I just had that great run, and we just had the Germans coming, and it just keeps coming. I just did Lake Erie Living, but no, not any help on that, which amazes me.
Now, see, they didn't care about your situation, but Congress always knows how to make legislation to make sure that their pay is there, their raises on time. They, vote the legation in.
And they only postpone their raises, right, guys?
Right. They never, they nothing is postponed. That's why I say all of them should be out on a term limit, number one, because some of those people, I mean, they were old when I was young, and now I'm not old, but they're already really should have been out of there for a long time. They should have no. In fact, Mark, when your employee goes to your office and says, well, is it time for me to get a raise and this and that? You then take all that into consideration to see how your profits are doing. These people just put in their own raise. They should have it on a national referendum where the American people approve that raise.
And believe me, Mike, my people deserve a raise right now after 4 years and sticking with me, keeping these lights on, keeping the doors open. And it's a shame, but I still want to keep the ship afloat.
Mark, I have a question. One more question for you. How did the people that you had to lay off make out as of now? Were they able to get into a job situation?
Well, some I brought back because the hardest, when I went from 70 employees down to 30, one was my brother-in-law. And you started to hit the family members and things. I do have Russ back now, and some of the guys back were about 55 employees. We have some back now. The Made in America store and company and distribution center helped to create more jobs and get some of these people back. They might have been a welder. They might have been a fabricator, but I put them somewhere. But other ones, no, they're looking the market. It's a buyer's market, but Western New York, light if you're a welder, fabricator, hard to find a job and land a secure job. So they bounced around. They went on unemployment. Some are hard to get back off unemployment. So there's two sides with unemployment issues. We got to keep the people moving, too.
Very good. Well, see, you've experienced from A to Z what this is all about. These people in Washington, as I talk to them, some of them are furious that I am picking on them. They feel that I'm picking on them on this broadcast and in different presentations that I make. I say I'm not. I'm just stating the facts.
Well, they work for us. They shouldn't feel picked on. They're our employees.
Absolutely. Now, some of them are just hiding in the background these days. Once they're reelected, have mercy. It's hard to find them at any.
And that's no good either. If you're sitting on a bench, get out of the game.
We have another caller on the line. I would like to welcome Pete. Hello.
How's it going, Michael?
How are you?
All right. I just wanted to just bring up an example of how rough it is out there to get a job these days. I have a buddy who sent out 200 resumes, 200 different places, and I think he got like three or four responses that said it's a possibility. And these three or four responses were actually probably an hour away from where he resides. And it's just been difficult for him. He hasn't been able to find anything these days. And I don't know how we're going to be able to figure it out with, you know, the situation we're in.
Well, that, I can see your point, and it is frustrating. I have to say this to you, and I do this to people that come to our agency. I tell them to prepare a resume, and then, of course, go within 1 mile of their house, make sure those resumes are distributed, then go within 2 miles of their home and branch out until you get a bite. But Pete and Mark and Rich and everyone listening, I have to tell you, this is the most unbelievable story that I heard from one of our listeners just the other day. Right before Christmas, they were let go from a job. And they called me up and they said, if I have any contacts, you know me, you let me know if you have anybody that I can give my resume to. Well, believe it or not, in 1 week, this person was so upset about being unemployed. She didn't even want to file for unemployment, having worked 7 or 8 years in this place. What she did is she prepared her resume and she went out to the train station and nicely dressed, handed a resume to every person possible, asking them if they knew of a job opening to please have them contact her. I couldn't believe it. I said, this is a wonderful idea. I mean, Rich, have you ever heard anything that inspiring?
Well, Michael, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying. And when Mark was talking before about trying to get help, you know, Mark, if you had a, you know, selling speculation, hot air business, you know, phony monopoly money around the world, sold as loans or whatever, and tank the world economy, that Congress would roll the red carpet out for you.
Right.
So,
yeah, good,
and Michael, your listeners would be very keen to check in today the latest news on AIG, which is about ready to go and sue and probably win a lawsuit against the federal government, despite getting billions in low-interest taxpayer-funded loans. So if they were PO'd about AIG, trust me, that it's nothing compared to what's about to happen if it plays out the way it is. So your listeners can check out today what's happening with AIG and the lawsuit they're about to embark on against the federal government. When you hear these stories about lawsuit against the federal government, or it's really a lawsuit against us, right? Who pays those settlements? Who pays those lawyer fees? We do.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We pay for that.
You know,
and the guys that voted the stuff in always, right, they're not really accountable for it. They still get their pension, salaries, health care, etc., regardless of what happens. So your listeners would be, I'm sure, quite interested to see what's happening with that.
You know, Mark, your insurance rates for your employees just went up as of the 15th of December, right?
Yes.
They went up. Most of the places went up 17% to 18%.
Yeah, a little over 18. Yep.
Well, I want to just say this, too, in talking about this new congressional act that should be considered. I wish that there would be some congressman would take these ideas and put them in action. Congress should lose all of their current health care the way they have it. They have the king and queen health care system available to them. And that's not what the American people have. That's not what they proposed for the American people. They go and they get the king's welcome whenever they enter the door. They have people go into their, they have special congressional lobby places there where they go, and everything is catered to them. I wonder how they would react if they had to be on the same healthcare systems that we are on. See, we have to take that, all that, that king and queen idea away from them, that they are coronated to do something special. They're not. They're simply employees working for the American people from our tax dollars.
The best ran companies cut from the top down, Mike. You know, I mean, you know, if I cut 10% from my employees, I'd do 20. I mean, you gotta, we're all in the same, it's a team effort, and exactly, you're right. I mean, they've got to cut. They should, boy, would I respect them if they cut the, you know, their health insurance, their pensions, and took salary cuts.
Well, they're speaking in the next 2 months, they have to make all these cuts. Rich, you would know more about this. I mean, could you advise them to start with lead by example?
Sure, we could. We could start immediately at home, and work our way out to other expenditures here. We could bring our military spending down to 2003 levels, still be the most secure military. I mean, you know, look, we can bomb the world 10,000 times over, guys. You know, if we reduce it to 5,000 times over, I think we'll be safe. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay, I think we could start there. We can also start at home. And again, I'm not suggesting that people in Congress that they should not make living wages. Now, the term living wage is subject to debate. It's a subjective term, so we could discuss that. But we're talking about salary cuts, participating in systems, Social Security, health care, et cetera, the rest of America needs to participate in, term limits, things like that. Did you guys hear any of those things talked about, the so-called debates?
Never.
No.
Never.
Did we have any question? Did we have any question? Did we hear a debate question from someone saying, you know, guys, do you think that, you know, if would it be good for politics if there was, let's say, another party, even though I'm in full I've disclosed I'm in full utopian favor of the abolishment of a party structure in the U.S. It will take the money out. It will get term limits in. It will also eliminate these opaque super PACs where millions and billions come in that's unaccounted for. We don't know where the heck it's coming from. We didn't hear any question about that. So we didn't hear any question about health care and these things. So voters are going to need to start asking this question. It's 2013. I think it's time to start asking candidates for office and the incumbents these questions.
You know, and Richard, you bring something to my mind, and that is I wonder if a candidate could come forward from a third party or maybe a Democrat or a Republican candidate to say, I am for term limits. I am for Congress having the same health care system as everyone else. Access.
Well, Michael,
to that.
There were candidates. There were alternative, I call them alternative candidates during the course of the election who were on state ballots. I mean,
but
Mark, you saw it in New York. There were other presidential candidates in New York. You had Gary Johnson, former New Mexico governor. You had Jill Stein. You had Virgil Good, who was another, who was a former congressman himself. During their discussions, they talked very frequently, actually, about deficit reduction, cuts elsewhere, tax discussions, as well as term limits. And I'm going to say the same thing about the tax increases that I've been saying for years, which is, before we start talking about a tax increase, let's see where we can cut. In actuality, federal taxes are, comparatively speaking to other nations around the world, our federal taxes are actually lower comparatively. But the question becomes, it's the cumulative effect of all the taxation combined with the rhetorical question, what exactly do we get for our money? Well, we have a safe military, which I don't think any of us guys, and perhaps, you know, not to speak for your listeners, but I don't think any of us want to see a weakened military. We want to remain strategically and militarily strong. But when is enough enough? When does it become excessive? We are without question in an excessive stage with defense spending. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure,
there's a lot of money to be made. Why? Because military plays into what I say, which is division. You know, United States meddles in the affairs of other nations around the world, in particular the Middle East, causes a lot of strife, a lot of division. It's big business.
Big business
so
opened
big
the door
business,
for them.
The big spending going.
Big business opened the door for themselves, and that's why they are now.
But they're aided and abetted, Michael, by Congress, though. But they are aided and abetted by Congress. See, that's the thing. And there's only been two parties, guys, in Congress for a century plus. There's only been two. You can't say a third, a fifth, a tenth, or a 20th party's at fault. There's only been two. We can argue who's more at fault, but the reality is there's only been two.
Well, I want to say that on this broadcast and through all of our efforts, we're doing very positive work, and I want to thank the both of you before we go to these few breaks. But I just want to say this. Back in 1996, when I first started my radio commentaries on this Saturday variety program that I host, people said to me, your ideas are wrong. This will never happen in America. Then in 2006, as I saw that things were going down the drain, as all of many of our listeners have saw, I began to promote the Buy American Made campaign. And again, they told me that it's not going to move beyond my broadcast. My point here is that if you keep after something, change will happen. Here we are, the beginning of 2013. And in addition to these radio broadcasts like today and the Saturday program, tens of millions of people in America, as well as national and local media outlets, are now supporting the Buy American Made campaign. However, if you look back from 96 and way before to today, our American elected officials are still focused on one thing: tax us rather than help our private sector businesses maintain a stable job base here in the USA by cutting the taxes and all the regulations that will bring the jobs back. That's, I mean, this is my whole thing. But people like yourself, Mark, Rich, our callers, our listeners, our supporters, David Muir, Diane Sawyer, everybody together working will certainly accomplish more.
You have to say, you have to get positive this year, like you said, Mike and Rich. I think we all agree we want to put out solutions out there. You have to, you know, watch your TV, study your politics, but get out there. Don't, you know, even my parents, they said, don't watch it too much. They get caught up in it. We gotta go work. We got to do what we do, and we got to make success, and we got to make the difference as people. And people can, Mike, and you're a perfect example with your show. I mean, you got to stay full throttle. You got to stay hungry, and you got to go out there and make change and stay positive.
And you know, Mark, in reply to that, after seeing all that I saw in the last 15 years, it's really up to the American people to assume the leading role in all of this, because national leaders are just focused on foreign aid and taxing us and regulations, and I have no idea what the 535 people there in national government are doing. I only know is that there's nothing that they're bringing to the table that's helping American workers. Through this whole fiscal cliff, we heard about taxes, but we heard about no new job proposals. I believe that a person should be employed at all times. If you're not on a regular private sector job, you should be on a public service type job. No unemployment. If you're unemployed, immediately you're an American worker doing something in our communities. We have a lot of places to fix up, clean up. We have elderly that need services, who need some help, you know, doing things in their homes. They have to do something, but they're not doing that. They keep saying to me, Michael, that's the way the system works. That's the way it's generated. You don't understand. No, I do understand. They do not understand, and they don't give a damn, because they are collecting the money. They have everything is guaranteed. Their salary is guaranteed. Their health care is guaranteed. Their pension is guaranteed. And what guarantee do you have, Mark, that you'll be able to exist next year?
I don't, and they better start understanding, because our children are going to sacrifice. You know, we have to get involved. Every listener you have, Mike, has to get involved. Buy an American is a great way to do it. Who doesn't like it? Who doesn't believe in building our country again, helping mom and pops and companies across this country? But as Rich knows, you know, the politicians and the government, they control us too. We've got to be careful what they apply, because cost of business, if it goes too high, we can only charge so much and they put us out of business. So it's, you know, I always say it's like tuning an AM radio, you know. You got to keep it right.
Gentlemen, and we're going to have to forego some of our advertisers today. I will double up on them on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday's program. But we have another caller. Marianne wants to speak to Mark and Rich. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if you guys saw that. My thought is, while we're waiting for all these politicians, I won't call them names, to do something, what do you guys do? Well, Mark, you know what you're doing. I saw a program. I sent Michael an email about it. Up in Detroit, they have what they call a soup day, and the people come and they pay $5 to have soup, salad, piece of bread, and whatever the benefit is or the proceeds from that particular evening, they donate toward helping someone start a small business. And they showcase this young lady who already has hired more employees. It was awesome. Because they can't afford in Detroit to wait for the politicians to do their thing to help with the insurance and, you know, all the other BS that comes with it. I know, because I have friends in business, so I know what goes on. But it was an interesting, what would you call it, slant on how to help somebody get off the ground.
Well, that's a good grassroots idea. Anything to bring people together. In the future, Larkin Connolly is going to bring on a representative of a business group here, I think, in 2 weeks, and we'll be able to take some calls, possibly hear what he has to say. But that's anything to promote one another. It's the same thing where we started this National Small Business Weekend effort. And this is something else that is up to the American people to promote. It's going out, supporting your local stores, going out to events like you just mentioned to support. In Detroit is a poorer city, so anything they can do to help people network at a luncheon or whatever, it's certainly the thing to do.
And Marion, I think that's great, networking, talking, and helping people. And on our store, I welcome any new entrepreneur out of their garage, and we give them exposure that they've never seen, and I love helping them get off the ground. So we do that all the time, and I give them free space in my store to show their products, which they don't know the value of that until later on they get going and see the, 90% is marketing your product, 10% is probably building it, but marketing is what it's all about. But this entrepreneurship is dying, and we've got to help. I couldn't imagine. I'm just working with a bank on a refinance now, how hard it is to get money. And I'm 25 years in business, so we've got to make it easier for our entrepreneurs, our thinkers. Even my twins are 18 next month. I'd love to take the challenge and get their 2 years of college and say, here's $50,000 or something to have them start their own business. But it's very, very hard for a young person or anybody going into business right now. We've got to make that easier.
And, I just want to add this. None of us are seeking to exclude foreign-made products here in the American market. What we're simply trying to do is restore competitive American-made versions of the items in the store so that we have a choice. If we have to pay 50 cents more for an American-made, so be it. But the thing is, we have got to stick together. We have got to move forward. And when we make more stuff here in the USA, we'll then have more items to trade with the world. Right now, we're trading big items, not small items. All the small items coming into the store are all foreign made. We have to make some of those smaller items, put people back into jobs, restore the skills. People then work in offices. They deliver, they package, they sell. I mean, everyone feeds off the other. We have to get back to that. And I want to thank Mark and Rich and all of our listeners for helping us, make this message a reality week after week. And I want to also thank our listeners on Saturday. We have a multicultural audience, guys, on Saturday. And we play a lot of waltzes and tangos and obedics and all, you name it, we play it. But we also promote the commentary. And what I like about the Saturday broadcast is it welcomes many nationalities of people. And they are also spreading the word. I just met yesterday with a gentleman who spoke to me about listening to the Saturday show and going out into his community to impress upon them the importance of the National Small Business Weekend. I said to myself, this is the way we have to do things in the future. Mark and Rich, I want to thank you both for tuning in. Thank all of our callers. We will have a rebroadcast of today's program up on the net within the hour. And of course, check out our internet site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, where you'll be able to see photos of our guests. And of course, you'll be able to listen anytime there on the left-hand side and so much more. Until Saturday at 11, or you can tune in tomorrow or Friday in the Polish language with Barbara Ilnicka, I wish you the very best. Przyjemnego weekendu.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great New Year.